We're doing Tomer Dvora, the third chapter. And as we had seen earlier, Rav Moshe Cordoviro is going and explaining the verse, Mi kel kamocha nosei avon v'over al pasha, al pesha. And this verse, our sages teach us, alludes to the 13 attributes of God. And from God's attributes, we could learn how we're supposed to behave. Now we're up to the third attribute, which corresponds to the words in the Pasuk, Vo'over al pesha, that God is willing to forgo rebelliousness, brazenness. Zomida gdola. This is really a very big trait of God. Sha'arei ena mechila al yedei shaliach, ela al yado mamash shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point that Rav Moshe Cordoviro is stressing over here is ve'over, that God Himself is the one that forgives us for our pesha. That He doesn't give it over to a messenger. I'm sorry. So Rav Moshe Cordoviro is stressing that Hashem Himself comes to forgive us. Let's say a person, he's just under President Bush. Let's say chief of staff. And he messes up on something. So he can send a letter asking for forgiveness, apologizing. And Bush could tell the vice president, go tell him it's okay. Hashem says that when someone does something, and even though his actions are directed against Hashem, even though it's a pesha, it's not something that he erred by mistake, Hashem says, I will personally forgive the person. I'll deal with him personally. And we discussed earlier that when a person does an avera, so he's in effect soiling things. It's like a soiled diaper. But it's a soiled diaper. He's standing before his creator with a soiled diaper. So when Bush's kids have a dirty diaper, I'm sure he calls the maiden. He doesn't bend down and deal with the diaper. But Hashem says, if you've soiled something before me, and then you want to fix it, I myself will come and help you change the diaper. What? So Hashem says, I don't do it through a messenger, but rather I myself will forgive you. Kedichtiv, as the verse states, Ki imecha ha-selicha. But by you, God, is forgiveness. And the word slicha in Hebrew, the Malbim points out, is a word that is used with reference to God alone. Because the word slicha means to be able to forgive to the level that it's as though you never did something wrong. If one person does something wrong against someone else, so even if the person says, I'm willing to forgo it, it's like you erase something. We have a rule when we write on a Sefer Torah that one of the criteria for making dye kosher is that when you erase it, you can see that there was an erasure. You have to do it with a knife. You can't just peel it off. About 30 years ago, there was a rabbi in Chabad who did a lot of research and figured out how they used to make dyes in the Sifrei Torah back in the time of the Gemara. And everyone was very excited. He made beautiful black dye based upon his research. And they started making Sifrei Torah with that dye. And after a few years, they discovered that you could just peel off the letters. And that disqualifies the dye, because the halacha says it must be that the dye is in a way that if, let's say, you write a document and someone wants to make a change on the document, he can't change the letters without erasing, and the erasing will be recognizable. That's one of the criteria of dye. So that's the way humans are. When we erase something, when we say, you know what, I'll forgive you. So we're erasing. But you know what, when you erase, it's like erasing on a Sefer Torah. There are scratch marks left after you erase. I'll erase it, yeah, but something was there. When Hashem says He's willing to forgive us, Hashem says, I'm willing to be soleach. And the term slicha, even though today we use it as a borrowed term between man and his friend, biblically it's only used with reference to God. Only God can say, I will be soleach, I will forgive you, to the extent that there will be no impact and no remembrance of what was done. Yeah?
Isn't there a mitzvah to forgive and forget through?
Yeah, but how much can you forget? You can forgive.
Then you're holding a grudge if you don't completely forget.
I don't know if you're holding a grudge. You could not hold a grudge, but we still remember. Look, we had a guy, in yeshiva once, who, he was a con artist. He didn't, he made believe like he was in yeshiva, and at night he was robbing places on Yom Kippur. He was robbing places. On Shabbos, they caught him breaking into a place. So he wasn't really a religious Jew, but he was making believe like he was a religious Jew on the outside. And in the dark, he was busy being a thief. So he robbed me too. I was one of the people he robbed. And a few years passed, and he came with a bigger yeshiva, a bigger yarmulke to yeshiva, and he made up a story. He told all his friends. He was framed. He said that it really wasn't him. It was someone he worked with who framed him. Fine. 2-3 years later, he comes back to yeshiva with a yarmulke, and he sits down to learn. And let's add another point to the story. A year after he's caught, he comes to yeshiva to learn, and that day I'm robbed again. So you could say coincidence, right? Could be, right? Another 2 years pass, and he comes back to yeshiva again. So I wanted to put up a sign, like on the bulletin board, beware a person that's been caught as a robber in the past is roaming the yeshiva grounds. So I went to put up the sign, and someone came over to me and said, how could you do that? We have a rule that when someone does tshuva, you don't remind them of his past. There's a halacha that if someone sinned, you don't remind him of his past. So I told him, I think that the halacha is, on the one hand, I'm not supposed to remind him of his past, but on the other hand, he's shown that he's a menace to society, and one of the prices that he has to pay is that society has to protect themselves from him. But I said, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Let's call up someone else. We called up a rabbi, and he said, 100%. You have to put up a sign because people have to know to watch their goods. And the fact that maybe he did tshuva, maybe not, we don't know. But even assuming he did 100% tshuva, at the end of the day, he's proven himself a menace. He's stolen from thousands, literally thousands of places. And after stealing, so we have to protect ourselves. And that's one of the prices he unfortunately has to pay. So that's not bearing a grudge. I was willing to even learn with him chavrusa. No, I went over to him and said, look, we'll learn chavrusa if you want.
Let's say he didn't present himself as a religious Jew, and he stole before he was as secular. He stole, but then he became religious.
That's a different story. He changed his life. That's different. Here, the guy was always wearing yarmulke. He was always wearing yarmulke. He always claimed he was religious. And a year afterwards, he maintained the story that not. And the same day, he happened to show up in yeshiva. I happened to be stolen from. Happens to be, could be. There are a lot of coincidences in the world. Could be.
Okay, so in this case, it was okay. But in a case, like, if someone that
if someone makes a change, he makes a change. That's great. That's what we're supposed to do. Not only that, about that, the halacha says, don't remind a person. In the turn of the 15th century, turn of the 16th century, just as it was changing from the 15th to 16th century, in the end of the 1490s, 1500s, up in Sfat, there was a big Rav called Ma'ari Bei Rav. And he wanted to reinstate the smicha like we had in the time of Chazal. And the Rambam writes that there's a way in which we could do it. If we have people are fitting, then there's a way to reinstate smicha, and then the Beit Din would have much greater powers. And one of the great rabbis who fought against him was the Maharal Bach. The son of the Ein Yaakov. We're learning the Ein Yaakov. And in one of the, there was very fierce letters going back and forth. Maharal Bach said, if there's going to be a center for Torah, it has to be in Jerusalem. He was rabbi in Jerusalem. And we don't have anyone in our generation who's fit to be a Dayan, the way the Rambam says, all the traits a person's supposed to have. And the Ma'ari Bei Rav wrote a whole essay explaining why we should do this, reinstate the smicha, and why we could do this. And the Maharal Bach, and he sent initially, when he just began this campaign, so he gave smicha to himself, to two other dayanim, and to a bunch of other rabbis. Among them, he sent smicha to the Maharal Bach, who was a big rabbi here in Jerusalem. So the Maharal Bach, when he got his smicha, read over his essay, and put out an essay arguing that this is worthless, we cannot reinstate the smicha. And for the next 14 years, you had fierce debates going on between Tzfat and Jerusalem, letters being printed back and forth whether the smicha is good or isn't good. And at one point, the Ma'ari Bei Rav wrote, and given the Maharal Bach's history, we can't really accept him now. had I known initially what his history is, then I would have never said even the positive things I said about him. So the Maharal Bach writes back, he says, look, I don't know what sin you're talking about. But firstly, the halacha says, if someone did a sin and you know about it, tell him about it. So I don't know, so tell me. And if you're talking about something that I do know about, so then all the things I know about, I did tshuva on. And those things, you're not allowed to mention that I did, because halachically, a person did tshuva, you're not allowed to mention his past. So either way, either come here and tell me what I did wrong, so I can do tshuva, because I don't know of anything I did wrong that I didn't do tshuva on, or else I did tshuva, and then you have no right to mention those things. So it's true, we don't make mention of a person's past, but that doesn't mean we forget it. If we know it, we know it. Hashem says he's willing to be over al pesha. He himself, personally, will forgive the person, and Hashem is going to do slicha, which is a total erasure of the person's past. Umaya slicha, what is this forgiveness?
But again, this is in Hashem's eyes, he completely cleans out the earth. We always, our whole lives almost, we probably feel bad about it.
David HaMelech said, and that's Allah now, and Allah is towards Yom Kippur. David HaMelech said, I always remember my sins. I never consider it like I've finished correcting them. Right. We spend our lives trying to build our future, part of which is rectifying our past.
So, in a way, we are
never that proud
in this
case. No. So, the Gemara says in Sotah that when a person sins and doesn't do tshuva, so the sin is like a dog that's barking and holding on to him even till the time he comes to the world to come. But that's if he doesn't do tshuva. If a person does tshuva, then not only do we say the sins can be erased, but the sins can even become schuyot. We continue lamenting over them because it's part of our building our future, and because we never know when we've completed our tshuva. The halacha says the sins that we begged forgiveness for from God last year, we are still supposed to remember this year. We can't assume, I did mine. Yeah, I did a complete tshuva. David HaMelech, at the end of his days, was still doing tshuva for things he did many, many years earlier. Even though Hashem told him, I forgive you. Hashem said, I forgive you. David HaMelech said, forgive me for Batsheva's sin. God said, okay, you've done a sufficient tshuva. And we learned how much David did tshuva. Nonetheless, he spent the last years overcoming that yetzer.
The child died then.
That was part of the punishment. That doesn't necessarily mean he did tshuva. So the slicha, Hashem says, the slicha, the forgiveness, is that Hashem himself washes away the sin. Kedichtiv imachatz Hashem etzuat benot Zion. V'chein ktiv ezalakti alechem mayim torim. One verse states in Isaiah that Hashem washes the sins of Zion, and another verse states that Hashem throws upon us holy waters and purifies us, just like we know we throw the parah aduma waters and a person becomes holy. That's it. The tumah is gone. Now he could go into the temple. He could do services. He could do everything. We don't consider it like there's a past tumah on him. Say no. That's it. It's over. He's clean. By the same token, Hashem purifies us of our past iniquities. Mehainu uver al pesha. That's what the verse states, that Hashem forgoes our rebellious sins. Sholech memerech itza veover veochetz pesha. That God, so to speak, takes the water himself and washes us of our sins. And we have to emulate our Creator. A person shouldn't say, I have to fix what he messed up. You know, I have a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. 3.5 and 1.5. They both sit down and play. When they finish playing, the 1.5-year-old can't put away the toys. So I tell the 3.5-year-old, please pick up the toys from the floor. And I'm always waiting for the day that he's going to say, let her pick up her stuff. But he's still young enough that he doesn't say that. He's still young enough that he goes ahead and cleans them all up together. So we all have a tendency. Every time I tell him, I sit there thinking, is he going to say it or not? So far he hasn't started saying it. We all have that tendency. Why should I clean up what he messed up?
The fact that you're expecting him to say it, you know,
I would hear that he'd say it. That's our tendency. We say, why should I clean up what someone else messed up? Hashem doesn't do that. If someone else ruins something, why should I pay the price? Lo yomarcha. We're not supposed to say this way. Sharei ha'adam chote. When we sin, we've soiled the diaper up there, so to speak. V'akadosh baruch hu be'atzmo. And Hashem himself, shelo al yedei shaliach, without a messenger, mitakenet me'uvotav, comes to clean what we've messed up, v'ruchetz tzorat avonon, wipes away the filth, the soiling of one's sin. ומכאן יתבייש האדם לשוב לחטוא. And this is supposed to be one of the points that cause us to be ashamed of sinning again. שהרי המלך בעצמו רוחץ לכלוך בגדיו. For when, even when we do tshuva on our sins, it's like Hashem himself, the king is coming and says, let me clean your clothes for you. That's an embarrassment. Wow, I'm making the king come down and clean my clothes for me. So we're supposed to learn from this, again, the element of patience, an element that we can't stand and stand our ground. Why should I fix what someone else messed up? We all mess up in lives, and we in our life, and we all cover for one another. And this is the third trait, that Hashem himself is willing to forgo our pesha, which is the things we do in a rebellious fashion. And when we recognize that Hashem himself does it, that's supposed to be one of the points that will spur us on to fixing ourselves and not repeating that sin. That was the third point, ve'over al pesha, that Rav Moshe Kordovario taught us. We're learning Tomer Dvora from Rav Moshe Kordovario. That was the third chapter in Tomer Dvora.